Welcome to the Holy Ghost Party podcast.
Our aim is to help you get high on the Most High.
All right, guys, there'll be more people coming in a bit, but even if there isn't, I really don't mind. And so the way this works, if you've not been before, the way it works is we get jacked up on the gospel first, and then we stick on the tracks and see where things go, really. So it's talkie first, music later. Just it's the opposite of what you'd expect. All right, just in case. So I'm going to introduce Max. He's going to be doing a bit of getting us a little bit blissed out on the gospel. And so tonight we're going to be talking about still whacked on Jesus. Yay! Hello. Tonight we're going to be talking about still whacked on Jesus. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you get the feeling that people are a bit bored with Jesus. Obviously, there's quite a lot of unbelievers who think that Jesus is boring. But I think there are quite a lot of believers who, deep down, are a bit bored with Jesus as well. And, you know, you can go along to a sermon that can be packed full of good advice, but it could have been good advice from a Muslim, it could have been good advice from a Hindu, it could have been good advice from a humanist, or you could go along to some, you know, you might get some crazy, you know, you can get people going on and on about the finer points of some vision that they had and who they met and what happened and everything. And good advice is good and fun visions are fun. But there's a lot of whack on the gospel, basically. But the reason... And Paul says that the gospel is otherworldly. He says in Galatians chapter 1, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." Woo. That's good news. "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, if people are a bit bored with Jesus and are more interested in the finer points of prophetic visions or more interested in dishing out good advice, I'm okay with that. That's, you know, but it tells me that maybe if we're in that situation... And with that person, maybe we might need a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because the gospel is so much better than most of us realize. So, and Holy Spirit, He really wants to give us a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Max is going to be dishing out the goodies tonight. He's going to be talking about Jesus. Whoa. And I just want to encourage you, like, you know, this isn't if you want to do debating, then make a date with me for a coffee, all right? Because this isn't the place for that, okay? What this is the place for is for just enjoying trancing out on Jesus, okay? So as Max is talking, just feel free to relax, let it wash over you. Some people get a bit noisy when they're in the spirit. Other people just go a bit quiet. Be however you want to be, but just enjoy letting this stuff wash over you. And then later, when we're all a bit jacked up on happy theology, we can start dancing around if you want. And there's no pressure. You can sit there and pickle if you prefer. So over to Maxibon, the amazing Maxibon. Whee! Give me a drunken noise!
Oh, so I'm really drunk, so I'm... Yay! Jesus! I'm having some notes here, because sometimes when I'm drunk, I can't think. But anyway, so What I'm gonna start about to talk about is to be a happy camper. Are you a happy camper?
Yeah.
So the only patriarch in the old covenant who actually was a happy camper was Isaac. And do you know what Isaac means? Isaac means laughter. And do you know what Isaac did? He stayed in the promised land. And who is the promised land now? It's Jesus. So if you want to be a happy camper, if you want joy in your life, just enjoy Jesus. You stay in the promised land because he is the mystic secret. You don't need to try to find some secret. You don't need to try to find some mystery. Jesus Christ is the mystic secret. He's the mystery of the ages. The mystery revealed is all Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul came and he said, I have come to you and I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus himself, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know what nothing means? Nothing means nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. It is all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Ah, sorry. Oh, he is Mr. Pleasure himself. He, yay, Liam and Justin. So much. Oh, give me a hug. A drunken hug. Amen. I'm trying to preach. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to say something. Yeah, but it was about Jesus. Yes, so you know Garden of Eden. Do you guys know what Eden means? Eden means pleasure. Eden means torrents of pleasure. And Eden isn't the place. Eden is a person. And his name is Jesus. You are now in Mr. Pleasure. You are now in torrents of pleasure. And torrents of pleasure is now in you, Tony. Torrents of pleasure is now flowing for you. Like streams of living water. Like fountains of life. Do you know how crazy this is? Ah! No, guys. This gospel is not like a low carb gospel. This is fatness, the fatness of the cross, the fatness of the gospel. It's just fatness. It's the buttery bliss. You are covered with this oil. You are covered with the butter fat of heaven. You are. You know, it's the fatness of the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of this world. You know how crazy this is? You know, and it's not about your own efforts. Your own efforts is like, it's like a lamb that got three legs and been microwaved and have one eye. But God doesn't want, he doesn't want a lamb that got three legs and one eye. God wants a perfect lamb that was slain, and that is Jesus Christ. And him crucified. It's all Jesus. Why is it so hard for people to understand? It's actually all Jesus. It's all Jesus, guys. This is so crazy. Oh. Okay, sorry. Okay. It's all Jesus. Okay. And this is why we got joy. This is why we're drunk. Okay, why? But I need to try to stay sober here. Yeah, so it's basically all about Jesus. Now, but No, but seriously, guys. In the Old Testament, you know, when they had a lamb, if the lamb even had a broken bone, you know, that lamb wasn't enough to pay for your sins. You know, normally on the cross when someone died, they would break their legs to know that they were dead. But they saw that Jesus were dead. So what did they do? They put the spear into his chest. So Jesus, he was the perfect lamb. Not even his legs didn't break. And this is how we know Jesus, you know, he is the Messiah. Jesus was the perfect lamb that was slain. And it's all Jesus, guys. Oh, and I mean, and some stuff I'm going to speak about is dualism. Do you guys know what dualism is?
So,
to have a dualistic viewpoint is to think that God is somewhere far above and that we need to try to make the kingdom come. We need to try to, you know, make the Holy Spirit come. Ah, so much effort, so much fasting, so much prayer, so much worship. Ah, but no. No, silly Billy. You know. No, but like Paul, he called this witchcraft in Galatians 3:1. He said, "You foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you?" And then he goes on and say, "How did you receive the Holy Ghost? Did you receive the Holy Ghost by efforts, by the law, by your own fasting? Or did you receive the Holy Ghost by hearing, by faith in Jesus Christ, you know? And you know, you got the Holy Ghost not by your prayer and fasting and striving. No, you got the Holy Spirit by grace. He's a gift. He comes like a package. It's a trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Stop separating. You know, Colossians 1 even says, you know, everything has been created by him, through him, and for him. And he holds all things together in himself. Every atom, every cell, everything, he holds together. Therefore, he is here. You know, he even says in verse 20 that he has reconciled all things to himself. Whether things in heaven, all things on earth. He is here, guys. He has swallowed up this whole room into himself. There is no going back. You know, even David said in Psalm 139, verse 78, he's like, "Where can I go from your spirit?" He's like, "If I ascend to heaven, there you are. If I go down to hell, there you are." Dude, Holy Ghost is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He takes up all space. He fills all and all. His glory covers the earth. It's all Jesus. And why is it so hard for people to understand that it's all about Jesus? I get panic. Ah! Anyway, but this is why I'm like Paul, you know. He said, if I'm standing outside myself in ecstasy, it is for God. But if I'm in my normal mind, it's for you guys, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, when I'm at the work, I try to act normal. But you know, but not really. I'm just like walking around like so drunk. I'm just like, I got Jesus in me. I got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, you know, I live, move, and have my being in him. Oh, so much glory flowing through me. Oh. But I really do try to act normal. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 even says, you know, we behold him with unveiled faces. Dude, you are face to face with God right now. You know, you behold him as in a mirror. You know, when you see yourself in a mirror, you see Christ because you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all Jesus. Do you see how everything points to Jesus? It's all Jesus. And it's not even your own fault. It's not your own fault. It's what he have done. It's all Jesus, you know. And it's actually really good news. but you might think, but Max, you know, I need that anointing. you know, I need that breakthrough. I'm like, dude, you have the breakthrough in Christ. It says you have all things in him. All things. Do you know what all things means? All things means all things. You know, you have all things in Christ. He is the anointed one. You know, you are in the anointing because you are in him and he's in you. You know, it's just Jesus. No, but like, no, guys, we even make our own relationship with God religious because we think that we have our own personal relationship with God. Dude, if you had your own personal relationship with God, it would be based upon the law, because every time you did something wrong, your relationship would be broken. But you don't have your own personal relationship with God. You have Jesus' relationship with the Father. You have Jesus' relationship with the Holy Ghost. Do you see how much freedom it is in this? Do you see how it points to Jesus? This is what Paul said. As I said, I came to you and I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now just lay your hands on your neighbor and just give him a drunken drink. You know, you got the fullness of God in you. Just smear that oil upon your neighbor. Oh, so much glory on you guys. And this thing, you really do have the fullness of God in you. You're like, Max, what do you get that from? From the Bible. You know, Colossians 2:9. Oh. Okay. So Colossians 2:9 says. Colossians 3:9 says that the fullness of the Godhead now dwells in bodily form in Jesus Christ. So the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Holy Spirit now is in Christ, in his body. And what does verse 10 says? Verse 10 says that now that fullness is now in you. You are now filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is in you. The fullness of Jesus is in you. The fullness of the Father is in you. And it's not your own fault. It's not because of your prayer. It's not because of your fasting. You know, so many times when you go to church, you're like, let's enter the presence of God in worship. I'm like, no, I am in the presence of God because of Jesus. You know, this is why you know, I celebrate. I don't worship to try to gain something. I'm just like, Jesus, you're amazing. I just want to celebrate in worship. I'm like addicted to it because of what Jesus have done. It's all Jesus. It's crazy. This is so good news. You might be like, well, Max. This is too simple. It's too simple. I'm like, yeah, it is simple. That's what's called good news. It's really good news. It's really, really good news. You know, if you actually knew this stuff, you know, you wouldn't be depressed. You'd be like, oh, Jesus, you're so good to me. I love you. And we really do. Okay. But okay, Max. What about work out your salvation with fear and trembling? And I'm like, what about this? No, but if you read that in the Amplified Classic, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling with self-distrust. And if you look at the Greek, it actually says self-distrust. So you work out your own salvation by not trusting yourself, just focus on Jesus. That's how you work out your salvation. Just look upon him. Just enjoy him. It's all Jesus. It's really good news, guys. I mean, even if we go back to Genesis, we will soon see that it's not about us. So, you know, in Genesis, you know, God said, or even the Trinity said, let us make man in our image. So first we see the Trinity there. Do you guys know what image means in Hebrew? Image means shadow. So God says, let us create man in our shadow. Okay, now my question is, do we have a shadow here somewhere? I don't know. But okay, we just play with the thought that there is a shadow here. Okay, how much fruit does my shadow get in its own efforts? None. And guess what are you? You are a shadow. You're a shadow. A shadow is totally dependent upon its object. Therefore, you are totally dependent upon God. It's not about you. It's what he have done. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And guys, do you know where this all started? All started with Romans 6. Who here loves Romans 6? We all love Romans 6. If you don't love Romans 6, you will love Romans 6. Trust me. So Romans 6, Paul comes and says, he says, shall we continue to sin now that we are under grace? And verse 2 says, certainly not. Don't you know that you have died to sin and are alive to God? You know, some version says even, you know, it doesn't even say certainly not. It says, hell no. Do not sin, basically, is what Paul says, because you are dead to sin and you're now alive to God. And then it says, you know, how in verse 6, it talks about how we've been co-crucified with Jesus Christ. Guys, you guys have been co-crucified with Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years ago, you did, it's a mystical way, you did bleed into one with him. You were co-dead into his death, which is amazing. Guys, you entered the grave realm with him. Your death was so real that they took a spear and they put it in your chest. That is how real your death was on that cross. Your old sinful self died with him. It died, and you have now been co-resurrected into newness of life. Into newness of life. You are now living in resurrection life, resurrection power. It's flipping amazing. It's so crazy. It's so good news. Okay. I mean, and then Paul goes on and he says, and you used to be a slave to sin. And then in verse 18 he says, but now you're a slave to righteousness. Yeah, you're slave to righteousness. No, but seriously, slave means to be under the control of something. You used to be under the control of sin, but you are now under the control of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. You are under the control of being right standing with God in Christ Jesus. Dude, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what will make you happy. It's flipping amazing. And in verse 11, it says, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. Amplified says, in an unbroken fellowship with him. You are in an unbroken fellowship with him. Tony, you are in an unbroken fellowship with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost, and with the Father. Unbroken, unbroken. You are in an unbroken fellowship with him. It's crazy. But then you might be like, but Max, I need to die daily. I need to die daily. And it's like, yeah, I mean, if you read that in context, it says, I die daily because, you know, I've been shipwrecked, because I've been beaten up, you know. He talks in context of persecution. But the truth is you have died. And why is this such an important message? Well, if you read Romans 7 then, 1-6, you know, it says that you died to the law in Christ's body. You know, he uses marriage as a symbol. So he says that we used to be married, we used to be in a covenant with the law. And then he said, but the law couldn't. And he said the only way we would be freed from that husband would be if our husband died, and then we could remarry. But the thing was, the law couldn't die. And if we started to flirt with grace, Mr. Grace, which is Jesus, we would commit adultery. But how did Jesus solve this problem? He solved it by killing you. You died. Because if you didn't die, well, you would still be under the flesh. You would still be under the law. You would still be in your sinful self, you know. But he killed you. You are dead and a new creation. That is why Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's now a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Behold, all things have become new. And there's two great quotes for you. There's Neos and there's Kainos. Neos would be that rich became a new rich. And that's normally what we preach on Sundays. But Paul uses this amazing Greek word called kainos, which means new in substance. It's like Rich becoming my phone here, like totally and utterly new creation. King James Version even uses the word creature. You know, a new creature, altogether new. The old is gone, the new has come. Behold, all things have become new. Do you see how crazy this is? Do you see why we just want to just dance around and jump and just worship Jesus? Because it's so good news. Oh. But then you would be like, but Max. Yeah, I understand I'm dead to my sinful nature, but I still have the flesh. I still have that fleshly nature. And, you know, it would be so easy if people just knew how to read in past tense and present tense. It would just solve a lot of problems, like a lot of theological questions. But anyway, so in Romans 7 verse 5, he talks in a past tense and he links the law with the flesh. And he says, you know, and he talks in that in a past tense, that's something of the past. But then he speaks in verse 6, he says, but now, which is present tense, but now you are in the Spirit. And then you would be like, but Max, what about Romans 8? And I mean, like, yeah, but Romans 8 in verse 9 says, you are no longer in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Why? Because you got Christ's Spirit in you. You got Christ's Spirit in you. And then you're like, but yeah, but Max, you need to have more verses about this. I do. Colossians 2:11. It says that in him you've been circumcised with a circumcision not performed by hands, but a spiritual circumcision by stripping off the whole body of the flesh. Amplified says, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Dude. Okay, but then people say, yeah, but that's a process, Max. It's a process. I'm like, well, on the eighth day when they did a circumcision, was that the process? Was it that they cut off the foreskin like 10% one day and then 20% the next day and then 30% the next day? No, silly Billy again, you know. He didn't do that. No, you know, they just cut it off on the eighth day. They just cut it off. And in the same way, your flesh now have been cut off. The whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts have been cut off in Christ. It's crazy. And then you'd be like, yeah, Max. But what about Galatians 5? I'm like, yeah, but in Galatians 5:24, it says that those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh. And that's not something you do. How would you do that? Oh, I'm going to try to... No, you were crucified with him. He did it. You know, Paul even says, I've been co-crucified with Jesus Christ. There's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live is in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. You know, in the message, he says that he talks more about the ego. Like, literally, you know, when he was crucified on the cross, his ego literally died. And he now have Jesus in him. You know, unconditional love himself. That's why you are unconditional love. You know that? You are unconditional love. Because, you know, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And the Greek word for love there is agape, which means unconditional love. Or it means love feast. Our Jesus is a love feast. You know? It's crazy. And you have that love feast in you. Oh, guys, if this doesn't make you happy, I don't know. Oh, it's so good news. Just enjoy it. Just drink it in. Just blah, 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 blah. No, but anyway, sorry. Oh, this is why I'm never invited to churches. No, I'm joking. But anyway, okay, so what about sanctification, Max? What about sanctification? Because sanctification is a process, Max. And I'm like, no, it's not. Sanctification is a process. And I'm like, where do you get that from? I'm like, the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that Jesus Christ has become our wisdom, our redemption, our justification, and our sanctification. Sanctification is not the process that you try to do. No, sanctification is a person. And his name is Jesus. You know, Paul even wrote to to the first Corinthian church. I mean, they were like doing pretty hardcore sin, you know. You know, the son had sex with the mother and stuff like that, you know, some pretty hardcore sin, you know. But what did Paul says? You know, he writes to the church and says, he writes to them and say they are sanctified. He writes to them and say, you guys are sanctified, even though, you know, they are living in crazy sin. You know, that is because it's not about them. It's about what Jesus Christ have done on the cross. It's all Jesus. And then, you know, Hebrews 10:10 says, you know, you've been by one, you know, offering, you've been sanctified. And verse 14 in the NASB says you've been sanctified and you've been perfected. And people are like, well, Max, I'm not perfect. I'm like, well, the Bible says so, you know. And I actually checked up the Greek word and it says perfect. It literally means perfect. So, yeah, no, you guys are perfect in Christ. It's crazy. You are. Okay. And then you're like, but Max, you can't say it. I'm like Jesus, you know. You can't say that. Well, John did, you know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, what does he say? In the King James Version, he says, as he is, so are we in this world. So not as Jesus was, but as Jesus is right now in heaven, so are we in this world. Dude, you are like Jesus. NIV version says, in this world, you are like Jesus. In this world, because people always think, well, Max, I won't be like Jesus until I die. Well, if that's true, then death is your savior. Seriously, if you think that you will become perfect the moment you die, then death is your savior and not Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all Jesus. You have become like him, just like him. Do you know how crazy that is? Why don't we preach this? It's actually really good news. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, this is where it all started. But then, because, you know, I always saw that, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. I saw his hands and I saw my hands there. But then I stumbled across 2 Corinthians 5:14. And where does it say there? It says that one died for all, therefore all died. Jesus not only died for everyone, but he died as everyone. He died as humanity himself. He died as a substitute. You see, Jesus, he wasn't an example. You know, a lot of people would be like, well, you need to follow Jesus' example. Dude, you can't follow Jesus' example in your own strength. He was a substitute. Even Paul says, you know, Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. So Jesus wasn't an example. Like, okay, well, Jesus was homeless and poor, so I should become homeless and poor. No, Paul said, Jesus became poor so that we could become rich. He was a substitute. That's the whole thing. Jesus did what you couldn't do. I'm not preaching penal substitution, but we're not going to go in there. Not tonight. Or maybe we are. I don't know. But anyway. So on Jesus' cross, when he died, he included the whole of cosmos to himself. You're like, well, Max, where do you get that from? Where do you get it from? Ephesians 1:10 in the G.B. Phillips translation literally says that Jesus Christ consummated the whole of human history to himself. The whole of human history did Jesus consummate on that cross into himself. Do you know how crazy that is? That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, you know, Paul goes on and he says, you know, sorry. He says, from now on, you should view no one from a worldly point of view. And other versions says, you know, from now you should view no one from the flesh. And, you know, flesh is the Greek word sarx, which means either your meat sack or it means the sinful nature. And, you know, and if we say it's a meat sack, we go into Gnosticism. We don't want to do that. So the only real, you know, explanation must be that we should view no one from their sinful nature anymore. We should see Christ in all, you know. You know, Paul even says that in Colossians 3:11, that Christ is all and is in all. And you know what? I checked out what all means in the Greek. It's the Greek word pas. It means all. Christ is all and he is in all. You know. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, he says that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world, the whole cosmos to himself, not counting their trespasses, but he have cancelled it. And now committing to us the ministry of reconciliation. So guys, Jesus have already forgiven everyone. Do you know how crazy that is? Everyone is already forgiven. Now, don't take me wrong. In verse 20, it says, therefore be reconciled. So, you know, there is a, you know, accepting, you know, identifying with the truth and all that stuff. Don't take me wrong. But the truth is also that, you know, Christ have done it. Christ have done it. And if you look at Paul's teaching, you know, he went to Mars Hill in Acts 17, and, you know, he was speaking to pagans who were literally worshipping idols. You know, Paul even said, you know, you guys have an idol you're worshipping that doesn't even have a name, you know, which is pretty crazy. And then how did Paul preach to the pagans? Did he say, if you don't pray magic prayer, you will go to hell? No, he said, guys, we live, move, and have our very being in him. We are his offspring. He said it's to unbelieving pagans. You know, even Peter in Acts 10, he says, you know, I've had a revelation that I should view no man as unclean or, you know, impure. Yeah. And he says this to, you know, when he's going to go to pagans. And it's just crazy. And, you know, John himself, you know, in chapter 14, verse 20, he says, on that day. So, you know, a lot of people would say, because we have taken lots of theology from Augustine, I'm not going to go into church history. But, you know, a lot of people would say, when you pray that magic prayer, you will be saved. And I'm like, well, what prayer did Paul pray on the road of Damascus? He was just on his horse, you know, and then he got bam, whacked, you know. And how does he explain this? Well, he explained this in Galatians 1:16, and he says, you know, God revealed his son within me. and then John himself explains this in John 14:20, and he says, on that day when you identify with Christ or whatever, I don't know, you know, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. And the Greek word in there for realize means awaken. So on that day, you awaken to the fact that Christ already is in you, and that you are in Christ. Guys, do you see how Jesus Christ have included the whole of cosmos to himself? And you're like, well, Max, I don't really believe in this. I'm like, guys, all charismatic people really believe in this. They just don't have a language for it. Trust me. Because, like, if I take an example, healing, for example, you know, we know that healing is by the cross, right? You know, it says Isaiah 53, you know, by his wounds we are healed, right? Okay. If people were not included, how come that unbelievers can get healed? They can get healed because they've been included in Christ. The whole of cosmos have been included in what he did on the cross. You know, even in the Old Testament, you know, which is amazing. You know, in the Old Testament, when a priest walked into the Holy of Holiest, if he had one sin in his life, if he wasn't 100% sanctified, you know, guess what happened? He died. So they had like a rope around his, exactly. So you could just drag them out. If they died, which would suck. But, you know, But when Jesus died, you know, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And, you know, now we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But do you know how crazy that is? The same power that people died of, the same holiness that people died of if they had one sin in their life, is now flowing through you like streams of living water. It's now flowing through you like fountains of life. You know, and it's not even your fault. It's effortlessly. It's by His grace. It's by Him. Do you see how it's, you know, we have so much witchcraft in the church because it's all about you. But we need to have a Christocentric theology where it's about Him. You know, we always say, you know, oh, it's all about Jesus. But when you actually ask them, like, okay, so what do you believe in? They're like, nothing is Jesus. You know, I've heard so many teachings and preachings, but they don't even mention Jesus. And I'm like, But anyway. So my question here is like, okay, so if we got the same power, the same holiness in us that people used to die of, how come that we can go to unbelievers and lay our sweaty hands on them and release the same holiness and the same power that people died of if they were not included? Like, how can they survive that? How can they survive that? They can only survive that because everyone have been included in Christ. And it's crazy. Yeah. So really, all charismatic people believe that everyone have been included. They just don't have a language for it. And that's the thing. But this is the new language. You know, we have had a dead language for so long when it's all about works and efforts and the eagle anointing and smurf anointing. I don't know, Nephilim anointing. I don't know what's going to come next. But, you know, you don't want the Nephilim anointing. You want Jesus anointing. And you already have it. You have all things in Christ. All things. All things means all things. All the wine of heaven you have in you. Everything. It even says in Ephesians 2:6 that He have raised you up and seated you with Christ in heavenly places in Him. But you know what? Heavenly places doesn't, the word places doesn't even exist in the Greek. It's something the theologians have put there. So really it says that He have raised you up and seated you with Christ in heaven in Christ. You know, heaven is in Christ and Christ is in heaven and you are in Christ and Christ is in you and heaven is in you and you in heaven and the Father is in Christ and Christ is in the Father and the Holy Ghost is somewhere there as well. And it's just crazy, you know. And this is the thing, you know, if you knew how good God was, you would expect Him to manifest at all times. If you knew how good God was, and He's really good, trust me. Just look at what He did on the cross, and you will see that He's good. You know, people are like, oh, Max, you need to have a father's heart revelation. I'm like, dude, just look, Jesus is like a father's heart revelation on steroids. It's just like, you know, because Jesus says, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Yeah. If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. You know, you already have the Father's heart in you. You know, Ezekiel 36:26 says that He have taken out your stony heart and given you a new heart of flesh. Hebrews 8:10 says you now have the law in your heart. You know, you can't help but living a pure life because you have the law in your heart. You now have Christ's mind. You even think like He does. You know, your mind is just catching up to the fact that you already have His mind. You know? You know? Sorry, just okay. Oh, wait. Okay, that was a big drink. Oh, wow. Yeah. And then we come to election then. oh, election, and you're like, well, there's no whack on election. They're like, dude, there's so much whack on election. And like, so we have the Armenian camp and we have the Calvin camp, and it's like a dog chasing its own tail. Oh, but what if we just pointed to Jesus? Guys, you know what the problem is? The problem is Armenians, they think, they think, is it me who choose God? And the Calvins, they're like, oh, is it God who choose me? Do you see how the theology is pointing to me? It's just ego. It's just selfish. But no, Ephesians 1:4 says we are chosen in Him. We are predestined in Him. Jesus Christ is the predestined one. Jesus Christ is the chosen one. Jesus Christ is the elected one. And in Him are we chosen. In Him are we elected. In Him are we predestined. It's all about Jesus. And this is what I encourage you to literally go home and just like go through your doctrines, go through your theologies, and ask yourself, does my theology point to me or something else, or does it point to Jesus? And if it doesn't point to Jesus, something might be wrong. We need a Christocentric theology which is all about Jesus. Because we are always just like, oh, I need to pray more. I need to do this more. Oh, no. Just feast upon the finished work of the cross. Feast upon that you are full of Him. You are full. You have all things in Him. And it's not your fault. It's all grace. People are like, they're like, oh, yeah, but I am saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. But they're like, but now it's up to me. And I'm like, no. Law, exactly, no silly Billy. Law plus grace equals law. Law plus law equals law, but grace plus grace equals grace. It's all grace. This is how we do it. We drink grace straight. When I was young, I used to be up to a lot of bad things. And yeah, really. And you know. Still a bit, yeah. But, I used to like to drink my vodka straight. I didn't like to mix it up. And this is how we need to drink our gospel now. We need to drink our grace straight. We can't mix it out with some Red Bull or some law or some own self-efforts or some focus on us. No, we need to drink it straight. A tall, big drink from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And, the Bible says even the angels want to look into the revelation of this message, the revelation, even the angels. And this is literally why Paul is like, but this is the thing. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. 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 It's nothing. Nothing. I could go on more on election and inclusion or not, but I won't have time because we want to party. But but if you have questions, you can always come after the party. But I'm probably going to be too drunk to talk. But that's fine. That's fine. I'm just gonna anyway. But this is the thing. I believe that God did choose Israel because they loved to party. If you looked at the Jewish wedding, they had a 3-day wedding, just having a party. Even Jesus, when he did his first miracle, he saved the party. He was the party fixer. He turned like loads of water into wine. It's crazy. And when a prodigal son runs away and he comes back, what does the father do? What does the father do? He throws a party. Over and over again, you see throughout the New Testament, that, you know, the Father throws parties, you know, Jesus throws parties, and it's all party, you know. This is why, you know, we can't really do it, you know. There's nothing you can do to come closer to God. There's nothing you can do to earn more or get more favor. You know, if it's about what we can do and our own efforts, then Christianity is nothing different from Hinduism, or it's nothing different from New Age. You know, in Hinduism, for example, there's 33 million gods. And there is no God who's 100% good, and there's no God who is 100% light. So, you know, they go from temple to temple to try in their own efforts to get favor with the God. But if they're unlucky, you know, that God have a bad day that day and just curse them. So they have to, like, you know, they have to go to another temple and be like, ah, I'm being cursed, but I thought it God's, I need you. So here's my prayer, here's my efforts. And if they're unlucky, that God curses them too. So they have to go to third temple. And I think that's why they have like 33 million gods. I don't know. But, you know, but this is the thing with the gospel, you know. In the Amplified, in 2 Corinthians 5, 19, says that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to favor with himself. God already has favor with you because of his son, because of what Jesus have done. Our God is not like a pagan God. He's 100% light, and he's 100% good, and he's 100% love. This is our God, and this is why we throw Holy Ghost parties, because the only response we have is to throw a party and celebrate Jesus. So let's just celebrate him and worship him and just